New writing. We talked a bit about new writing. It was mentioned. There are some people who will say that Kwame Kwayama can get a play on at the National, but there are other writers who can't, and that is something that said. Complaints, obviously. But what I want to address is whether the new writing is coming through, and also the quality of the writing, because some people would just say, I'm not commissioned because they're racist there. I want to talk about what sort of writing is coming through. Are there new voices as well?
I had an interesting thing, right? Just very quickly, before I forget, that's why I'm interrupting you. I had this meeting with some the audience feedback people from the BBC, because I've just been doing the Crouches in the summer, and there was terrible reaction and reviews for the sitcom last year. So this year they got me involved, and I had three black writers working on it, and hopefully it does mean that it's going to make a big difference. But I went to this feedback thing with lots of these people, audience members who kind of watch all these shows for the BBC, and one of them said to me, well, we had Baby Father and that's gone now, and Patrick Augustus didn't get a chance to, write any of his series. And I said to them, listen, I'm sorry, I just have to say this. Did you read the novel? No, I didn't read the novel. So I said, well, then if you didn't read the novel, then I think you will know why he didn't write his own series. We have to. If no one else is going to say it, then I'm going to say it. We have to know. There's quality to work. Just because you write something and you want to get it done doesn't mean that you can go and push up yourself and say, why isn't the National doing my work? Is it any good? No, I'm serious, because for a long time, years ago, when it wasn't Time Out, it was City Limits, you could go up and read your address book, and simply because you were black, you got a rave review. I mean, that's the kind of... We have to move on. We have to be honest enough to say what we consider to be good and quality work. And stand by that. Otherwise, we will get caught up in that whole thing. So maybe, the person who's thinking, why isn't my play done? Maybe they have to go away and work some more. And they've only heard about Kwame since he's been at the National, some of them. He's been working for years. It hasn't just come today, so...
I'm pleased that you put it in there.
I just get fed up because a lot of the time we're not brave enough to say actually that person is any good because they're black. You're no good.
Shit's not working.
You could get better if you work and if you're prepared to do the work. But right now, today, no.
Stephen, go ahead.
I was going to say I do agree with that, and I do think it is important when it comes to writing, irrespective of who you are. I don't think it's a colour thing. It's about actually how good you
can.
It is about the craft. It is about really understanding the craft and knowing the techniques that are there in order to execute an exceptionally good story. So everything that you've said is absolutely spot on, and I don't think it's acceptable to just put on a play for the sake of putting on a play. It's absolutely wrong. I strive. In my own personal world for supreme excellence, and I think you do Paulette,
and so does
Kwame, and so does Roy, and those I think those wonderful messages are coming out and saying to those up and coming individuals, actually we want you to do exactly the same.
Okay, Kwame, were you going to say?
I suppose I was just going to echo. I get that quite a lot where people go, yeah, but Kwame, you can get your toilet paper commissioned.
And actually, interesting. But what's really, really interesting was pre Almina's Kitchen, I could not get a London commission. Mm. I had very good reviews for my play, Richard Herbert, The Bristol Old Vic. I had good reviews, great reviews for my adaptation of Cyrano de Bergerac in Coventry. And every London theatre I sent my my script to would say no. And nearly everybody who now asks me for commissions were people who then said at the time, no, I don't like your writing. Mm-hmm. And there's two things about that. Number one, I have improved. Mm. Because actually I took my craft seriously.
Yeah.
And I went to college and did a master's in screenwriting. Mm-hmm. And actually I did improve, and that made a vast difference. For me, one of the things that I judge new black writing on is actually there's all of the technical things. And I think we need to, and as Paulette said quite emphatically and quite correctly, is that actually, I take all that as read, all of the technical. You better have your technique down. You better understand it. We can fail, but you better know.
Absolutely.
When I talk to you about a turning point, I want to know that you know what that is in your play. Yeah. When you talk to me about, about your act two climax, I need to know technically what you're doing. But what I judge new black writing for is actually by how culturally specific, how realistic, how true to the community from which it has come from. Mm. Mm. That piece of work is, because we have a history across the board, across the mediums of arts, of successful work from minorities being the work that is most understood by the host community, by the buying community. And so for me, the criteria is not just about, and so it should be, about quality, but it's also about how true to yourself are you being in this piece? How true to the community from which you have come from? Or is this a vanity piece in which you are actually just using the cover of Black in order, or a cover of Africa, the cover of whatever, in order to get the squeeze, because we know that we're now living in an environment where if you're halfway good and you're Black, people might just listen. And it's very important. That's what I judge new work by. It's what I judge myself by. And, you know, I'm in the middle of doing my final draft while going to rehearsal on Monday. So, you know, I'm doing that judging a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
And I judge myself by that criteria. How true am I being to myself?
Okay.
I want to ask a question about the risk of new writing in terms of programming around the country. And I want to draw reference to one writer, Roy Williams, who won awards, BAFTAs, whatever. And I find it absolutely crazy in 2004 that the Eclipse Theatre is the only organisation that's actually taken his work on the middle scale and torn it around the country. It's never happened before. So what is going on? So on the one hand, when we talk about this wonderful renaissance, it comes to an absolute halt when you look at a successful writer who is extremely good at his craft, but yet theatres are not taking the risk to actually programme his work unless you've got an initiative like mine. So it is worrying, because I can only speak for myself, and I can only speak for my organisations. You know, I don't know if you could talk about Paulette, about why are the reasons that Tulliver are not Tory around the country.
As I said before, Tulliver hadn't really been touring for a while. I think they'd done like residencies, or you know, I think they'd done a show that was in London and then at Bristol Old Vic. And I think they've always kind of had a residence. They've just gone out and performed in one other venue somewhere else. My background is doing shows up and down the country, and so really, because that's what I loved doing, I wanted to bring that into Tulliver and do that. But as I said, because of the Capital Project, we've not really been able to do that.
Can I make an observation?
Briefly.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to throw it out to
the audience. Okay. Oh, yes, of course.
That's what we were saying about things, but I've forgotten. Go on.
Can I say, I think it's very interesting, because I know, if I may, that I know that Paulette actually did something which I think is, which will let us know. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
I think Paulette did something that I think will solidify whether we are having a renaissance or whether this is something that is just vacuous and of today or is futuristic. In terms of doing, and you've done it, Stephen, in terms of doing plays, remounting plays that have come from the Black well.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, is it when a lot of these problems, at the moment, we often just keep thinking about new writing, and hence ignore the wealth of great work that has gone before, because it's not rehashed.
Yeah.
It is only contemporary, it is only valued today. And the most important thing for me is that if you go into my library and you'll see plays dating back from the 1920s, I got Carter C. Waterhouse's critical analogies on the 18 plays that were happening at the Harlem, at the beginning of the Harlem Renaissance. These plays are not done again. So I come up as a new writer, and who do I go to? I have to go to other playwrights. I have no one to go to. Even for me to find these books, you know, and I've been earning okay. I've got to go and find them and paying quite big money for them. And actually, the plays are not being done again. They're disposable. And like pop music, anything that is disposable becomes...
Okay.
Nothing.
Right.
That's exactly. No, I've just remembered what I was going to say, which was, it's about creating our own classics, and it's about remounting productions so that people, you know, at the end of the day, we're in danger of Kwame having, you know, a back catalogue that goes, but you only see it if you're in London.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the country, the rest of the world, we're in danger of not knowing his work.
Okay.
And same for all the others.
All right. I just want to open it up to the audience now. If anybody's got any questions to the panel, any comments that they'd like to make.
We've been having a lovely discussion. We're going to do that
show.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Can I ask Paulette, if you could describe a bit more what you're actually doing on on your capital project and how it might impact on all the things that you've talked about over the next few years?
How are we doing on the capital project? Well, we're still... we're at the very, very early stages, really. We've been given a certain amount of money from the Arts Council, the LDA and the Millennium Commission. There is a site, and it's a site of the old Westminster Theatre in Victoria. It's going to be... It's been bought by these developers, and it is going to be a 250-seater theatre. What else do you want to know? That we will, of course... You know, Talal will be at home there, but it will actually be a building for all of us. Because it won't just be Talibur work being produced there.
So how much of the time do you imagine that you'll be there and how much...
I don't know, I suppose in the early stages it'll probably be mainly our work because it's going to take time to kind of programme and for people to know that we're there and what kind of... You know, because it does, these things take time. I've been told, I've never done it before. But I suppose the main bulk of it will be Talibur to begin with, but then eventually it will be working. Already I've started talking to people like Nitro and to Moti Roti and to, you know, Carly and to Tamasha. So there are all these Yellow Earth, there are all these other companies that already know that we're going to be. And then of course they're going, great, that means that we can have a venue in London, which is perfect. And it also means that the work that happens in the regions that, you know, I can happily get on a train and go to, means that that can come to London as well. And then we go international, and then it's beautiful.
World domination.
Yeah. So we'll be coming to you for money soon. Not right now, but we will be coming to you for some money.
I wondered whether the panel felt that if the Renaissance was, if we want to call it a Renaissance, is to be truly achieved, that somewhere along the line, commercial producers in the West End have got to go, this is worth selling, this is a really good play. I mean, a lot of people complained that Roy Williams' play Fallout and Kwame's play Amina's Kitchen didn't go into the West End. Mm. Well, maybe we're all terribly naive, but it seemed to me that the time was right for that to happen, and it didn't. Do you think that... Would you like to see that happening in the West End, or is it kind of irrelevant to you?
I would like it to go out into the regions first, because there's an awful lot of people around the country who would actually like access to that work before it even gets into the West End. I think that needs to be addressed before we actually start talking about the West End. The West End is the easy option because at the end of the day it's money. And there's lots of Americans who can come over here and actually buy those seats. But there are people around the country who need to see Talwa's work and also need to see Kwame's work as well as Roy's work. So it's just concentrating on London is a luxury. You know, London is just one region out of many around the UK. And remember, there are lots of people who are buying into theatre around the UK. So,
okay. Kwame.
For me, it's a twofold thing. It goes back to my question at the beginning. Who do we blame, commercial management or the audiences? Because if the commercial managements think that they can get, that they can be successful, believe me, there's 100, you know, they're not going to go, I'm not going to produce your play because I think it's black. They're actually going to sit there and go, I'm unsure if I can get the overwhelming majority of the theatre-going audience that I would need to come and see your play to come in and actually play for a play and pay for a play that is not from their cultural lens. Now, it's different with a musical because there is a long tradition of the black musical. Mm. But the black serious play coming into the West End, that's the last bastion of white supremacy, nearly. Mm. It's a bit like to finally allow that to happen would be to admit that they're here and they've arrived and that they can actually do it. They can actually technically craft plays that are worthy. I think that there have been many plays, not just my own, not just Roy's, there have been many plays in London that have come on that actually I know personally. Many West End producers have gone to and sat in and gone, this is a brilliant show, and scratched their heads and gone, how can I do the maths to get this in? But actually, it's not until our country, our population as a whole, actually says, I'm willing to take a risk and not hear that this is a good play, that this is a good evening out, and I will then travel into the West End to see that, and I can tell my next door neighbour that I saw a blah 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 play, and it all feeds into all of that, and that things will actually change. So my issue is more with our audiences than it is with our producers. I think it is a challenge to both the white audiences in terms of them not going, oh my God, this isn't for me, and also a challenge to the black audiences to claim not only the institutions like the National and the Royal Court, but to claim West End theatres. To say that this is territory that I fear not to tread into. So therefore, that commercial producers can go, even if the white audience does not do it, I know there'll be enough black theatre punters that can fill that gap. The challenge is twofold to the whole of the population.
Did you want to say that?
Blue Mountain, with its very specific audience, is so different from people going to the White Theatre. If you go to the White Theatre, these days we're trying to get new audiences, and we're trying to stop it being smart and snobby. Go to Blue Mountain show and everybody is dressed up to the nines to go out for a very special night out. It's two totally different approaches to going to the theatre.
I think I didn't articulate myself properly. When I mean that people were dressing up to the nines, they were dressing up to the nines in the clothes that they would dress up to go to a discotheque, to go to a club, which is slightly different to the dress-up clothes that they might perceive that they have to wear if they were going into the West End. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's about actually cultural definition, because I believe fundamentally that we, in what they call the high arts, wish it to be the popular arts, and that actually what Blue Mountain are doing, in my opinion, not necessarily with the material, but with the audience that they get in, is making what is perceived as the high arts the popular arts. So actually I'm saying, I think I was saying quite the contrary, and not that I think I've said Blue Mountain too much. I'm not on their thing.
But you know, I talk to my white contemporaries, some of them, and depending on what your background was as well, whether or not you went to the theatre, if you're working class or middle class, you know, and also what you want, it was a big event to go to the theatre, so you got dressed up because you were spending money. You know, it was a ticket, it was all the other stuff, and it's so for working class people, it was about, this is a big event and I want to look my best.
Steve, just knowing the work that Eclipse has done in getting all sorts of people to watch, is it because we're accepted now?
I was thinking about this on the train, and actually at the end of the day, I was actually looking at some data. I was looking at Nitro's tour, what was it?
Slam Dunk,
and I was looking at our tour, Mother Courage. And actually, if you look at the figures, if you look at theatres that actually work a lot with the black community, when it compared to, all you have to do is take Slam Dunk, they did exceptionally well in terms of getting a black turnout. And then if you looked at my show that went there, it didn't do as well. So I was saying to myself, I think there still needs to be an awful lot of work out in the regions in terms of audience development to target black people. Not just people to come see cultural diversity, but to target black people. Because I just don't think many black people feel that comfortable about coming to the theatre. I don't think that they completely identify with coming to the theatre. I'm going to talk about the regions. It might be slightly different in London, but certainly out in the region, it is very, very difficult to encourage black people to come out to the theatre. So you need to come up with a wide range of very interesting, exciting initiatives to attract them. I only think that we've only just started to do that. I don't actually think that we've achieved the level that I'd like to achieve.
Shango, did you?
I've been in theatre a long time as actor, writer, director, etc., etc. I'm not sure about this idea of a renaissance, because to have a renaissance, you've got to have a birth first. And I can't remember a time where there was, you mentioned Harlem Renaissance, Kwame, and that was a definitive period of time in Harlem where the intellectual and dramatic and songs, everything made for that grand moment in time that hasn't come back yet. I don't think we've had that in Britain yet as a black theatrical entity. I think Paulette is right in saying that quality is what tells. In the end of the day, we can't just have a chip on our shoulder and say, look, man, they don't want a Rasta to play a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? We've got to create an environment in which we can function. And sometimes that takes a lot of strategy. How important is it that we focus on the heritage that we have that hasn't been discovered yet or hasn't been remembered or given due credit? And also that all our work somehow has to be educational so that we can have a rootical presence that grows and not the hope of a summer that summer for black theatre and then it goes away. Okay, I know it's a bit of a long question.
Paulette.
No, don't ask me first. I'm still thinking about <that's your> question.
Kwame, do you want to say that?
Cool. I have a slight difficulty with, as I stated, with the word renaissance.
Okay.
at the top, only because actually, to me, there actually was a birth, in my experience, and a burst as well as a birth, of very good black plays in the 80s for me. I would go to see maybe even before that, but I know as a young actor at the beginning. There were many plays that I could go and see, as I said, the work of Black Theatre Co-op, up and down the country, the work of Talawa that was going on, the work of Temba that was going on, the work of, there was like five or six different companies that nearly every month or every few months that I could go and see really interesting work by them. And so, but it was not culturally celebrated in the way in which the 11 Incendiary plays have been of last summer. But I would link those plays to a bigger thing that is happening in the nation for me. I actually think we are at the onset of a black British renaissance, artistic renaissance. And that doesn't just mean within theatre, that means within music. If I look at the works of Dizzy Rascal, and if I look at literature, and I look at, we have our own theologians writing the most brilliantly challenging work at the moment, and I think across the artistic and the thinking spectrum of the black community, we have what I believe is the onset of a most wonderful renaissance that I believe will be challenged and will be catalogued much in the same way, if we can continue, much in the same way that the Harlem Renaissance was, particularly for African Americans. As I say, we have a raft of award-winning artists in every category in the last 2 years, whose work have been equal to anything produced by anybody of any other culture. So I think, actually, we are living in such a time.
I think the key to what you're saying as well, for me, that's really important, is the catalogue, is to kind of make sure that those things are there. I don't know how many times I've had phone calls where people have said, do you have a copy of this? Don't even have it documented. So, you know, archive and all of that is crucial if we are going to talk about having any kind of renaissance.
Some of the recent plays that have been getting most attention have been about, you know, gang culture or the kind of pressures of living within the black community. Maybe there's a difference in the 80s generation and this generation, that they're talking more about the experience of living within the community rather than what it's like to be on the receiving end of racism or whatever. But Fix Up sounds to me like a play that's not, just doesn't fit into that, into this whatever wave you want to call it, about gang culture or gun culture. It's a different species. Maybe that's another cause for celebration, that it's not being about those things.
I mean, again, not having quite got to the end of the draft yet, I don't know what it fits into. but I mean, I have, of course, but I mean, I'm doing the rehearsal draft right now. But I would say very quickly, because I think that's what that indication was, that for me it was very important that in my second play, I mean, it's not, but my second London play, Delmina being the one, that I didn't place on myself the pressure of having to be a chronicler of modern life, of modern interior life, that I would far rather chronicle the theatre of my front room and the theatre of my community, not just in terms of woes, but in terms of its intellectual heritage. And that's why it's placed in a political black bookshop that at its very core is talking about, is saying, demonstrating that we have a rich literary tradition within the community from which I herald, and that is just the basis from which I move on. And I should also just say finally that for me, I aim to, and I don't know if I will do this, but I aim to write a trilogy of plays with what I perceive are the black institutions. Almina was set in the West Indian restaurant, Fix Up is set in a political bookstore, the next one will either be in a church or a betting shop, and actually that each one of those will deal with a different socio-economical class and deal with, because we all don't just exist within that. And if I were just to write only working and underclass characters, I don't think I'd be doing justice to the kind of work that I want to do. However, that doesn't mean that it might not be received in the way where they go, God, I wish I'd just go back and start writing about gangs.
I wanted to end with the question to the panel of recommend what we should look forward to. Kwame Fix Up, I think, if you can get a ticket, that is. So try very hard. You two?
I'm going to...
Recommendations.
A recommendation for a show.
Yeah.
Well, there's Roy Williams' show that we're producing, and it's going to come to London at the theatre.
No.
And it's called Little Sweet Thing. Yeah. And it's an incredibly powerful story. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay,
then.
Thank you.
Oh, and we've got something coming up next year.
Okay.
Which is going to challenge having interesting conversations with some of my board. It's a play that's set in a drag club in Trinidad during Carnival.
Ah, yeah,
that's going to be very interesting.
Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for coming, for taking part. On behalf of Theatre Voice and the Theatre Museum, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm coming to see that.
Oh, you know.